Blog Talk Radio.
Discussion about what to do about family court scams. Now, it has been brought to our attention this week that the focus of our show oftentimes seems to be around the probate courts. But we want to make something perfectly clear. We are Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards. That is a broad umbrella that includes every kind of court embezzlement and unethical standards applied in our courts. There are many kinds of courts. They're family courts, they're probate courts, they're courts of law for criminal acts. There's all kinds of courts. And we are aware of injustice and unethical standards being applied in a great many of our courts. As a matter of fact, these days, it is our opinion that the court where there are not some unethical standards going on is the exception rather than the rule. I hate to say it, but when you look at the justice system, when you look at the prison mentality that we have in this country, where we have the largest number of prisoners per capita, way above every other civilized nation, we incarcerate more of our citizens than anyone. Are Americans bigger criminals? I can't really believe that. I don't believe that. I think that the justice system is broken, and we're locking a lot of people up for stuff they ought not to go to prison for. The drug laws are one thing. That's, I think everyone realizes that drug addiction is a medical problem. It's not a legal problem. And the way that we're handling drugs in this nation is to lock people up, lock them away, penalize the family, penalize the person. It's to make them into criminals. And this is not something that is ethical. When someone has a medical problem, to lock them away isn't helping them, and it isn't serving the common good.
Right. So our topic tonight, we got a lot of concerns talking about the corruption in courts, but it's all the courts involved. So the problem is our system is turning a blind eye to justice and laws by those entrusted to uphold them with no repercussions. And once you've had everything taken, what's next? Do we sue? Do we ask the media for intervention? Do we get a hold of legislators to pass new laws? Do we go to the attorney general or the district attorney? Should we start a RICO or a class action lawsuit? Or sue the hell out of them? You know, because this was ours to begin with. Okay, so what has worked for you? What has not? You know, call into our show and share your experiences. And another thing we want to point out is that there are too many, you know, court officials that are unscrupulous. It is sickening that they're allowed by the courts to abuse the very persons they are supposed to protect. We are paying huge attorney fees to protect our loved ones, property, and assets. Do these attorneys have our backs or our back pockets? We must speak out and not let this be a just us system. So you guys tune in, and this is the Inside Scoop on Faces with Robin and Lulu. We're going to go ahead and bring in Marcy. She comes on and she co-hosts with us. Every now and then, she's had some issues down there in Florida. She was during that horrible time down there with all the floods down there and the hurricanes. And Marcy is safe with us tonight.
Hello, Marcy.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
I heard you had a fight down there.
We have survived. Thank God that all of my family, my children and their families, and my friends, they have all survived. I don't know of anybody that got seriously hurt. But so I'm very grateful to God. And I went out and I looked at everything and I said, thank you, God, because he's definitely in control. There were so many people praying this hurricane away. And you know what? Prayers work, because it prayed it away from us. I mean, at one time, I think we got hit with a tornado in the back, because I was telling you about our beautiful trees that I have now in my new place. And you asked me if the trees were there. As far as I could see from a little peephole, yeah, the trees were there till I went outside, and the trees were so tall that even when they were uprooted and tipped over, they were still high enough. So that was very sad. And my neighbors next door to me, you know, they've been in this community for like 7 years. So, and their kids played, their girls played around that tree. So that was sort of sad to see. And I mean, when you go outside, you see the damage that it did. Brickell was flooded. The streets, and today I was out in the work field, and people are just so stressed out. I went to get some pastelitos, you know, the Cuban pastelitos that I got you when you guys were here.
Yeah,
and this lady
remember.
Said, can you believe this person asked me if we had the pastelitos? I haven't slept for 3 days. The pastelitos are right there. And I'm thinking, oh, now I know why people are so stressed out driving. If this woman
right.
tips over where the pastelitos, imagine the people driving. And my boss oh. got hit. I mean, they couldn't decide which way to go. So everybody got trapped, and they had a big accident because the lights are not on. But anyway, enough
of
that.
Oh, my God. Think about Florida, too. It's hard enough driving with lights on, let alone without your lights and the electricity.
We heard that
there was five elderly people or eight elderly people that died from the heat in these nursing homes.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you that it's in Hollywood, right near where we were when you guys were here. And, Willard Shepherd from NBC News did that news today, and it was terrible because, they had a generator, but these people were unattended. And they died of dehydration and the heat, and there were eight of them. So there's a big investigation for negligence, neglecting the elderly. One more time.
Well, I'm hoping they find out a lot more than that, because we've been telling them that they're not, you know, helping our elderly people. They usually take them in on. This is not all nursing homes. Some of our nursing homes, like my mom's, where she is, it's a wonderful nursing home. Oh, my God, they are so good there. But a lot of these nursing homes, there was another gentleman that I was going to post on our website today about how they went into Texas and they were going in, and there was a whole bunch of elderly people that were sitting in their feces, and the place was disgusting. He couldn't even believe it. And they went in to rescue these people, and they would not let these people go. And it's like they're sitting in water up to their knees, and it was horrible. And they did not want them to go. And the police said, these people are going. I'm sorry to tell you that, but, you know, that's not right for elderly people to be warehoused. I mean, I'm against all of that.
It's scary growing old. It's very scary, you know, getting older, because you're just not safe. Everybody wants to live off the elderly, the nursing homes, the caretakers, the guardians, the attorneys. I mean, everybody wants to deplete them. And it's very sad because they're vulnerable and they're not able to defend themselves. And it's just a real sad hurricane that we're living. It really is.
Yeah.
It's scary. And,
right, and you know,
what's that?
I feel so sorry for all the people down, you know, like, and this was, this this took over, that hurricane took over the entire state of Florida and all the way up into Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, that is a huge storm, and there's floodings, and I just sat there for like 3 days just glued to the TV. It was, it's so unreal.
And the
Right, and then you have to have, like, nursing home people all die for them to even get recognition that we have a problem in our state, you know? So I'm glad there's an investigation. I'm glad they're checking into that. And you need to check on all the elderly people.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
they're taking it seriously because they're saying there is a hospital across this nursing home, and no one called or 911 to get them out. And I'm hoping that 911 and the Department of Children and Families, and now this ACA, it's another organization, they're really looking at the problems that's going on with the elderly. Not just in now, they're saying if there's anything wrong, if you see anything, call the news, call 911, call ACA. Go and reach out and help these people. Well, I mean, how can people that work there not see that these people are dying of dehydration? They die. That's serious. It's 8 of them. If I would get a call like that, oh, my God. Thank God I have lost it and everything that's been done to my mother. If my mother dies of anything like that, wow. I'm telling you. You know, God is in control.
The thing is, Marcy, is that there is so much corruption in all of our courts. I mean, I was talking to a bunch of ladies on Facebook today, and they said it's not just the probate and the family courts and all that. It's the whole complete system that's corrupt, you know, and we have to have catastrophes and all this stuff for it to come out in the open. And I just think that they need to get in there, and they need to, you know, pay more attention to our elderly, and they need to pay attention to how these families are all being fleeced out of, you know, money, you know, for their own riches. These court officials are getting away with murder. Next week, I am planning on having a probate attorney coming on. She is from Colorado. Her name is Darlene Seipzer. She's going to be coming on to our radio show. She is a probate attorney, so she'll be able to answer a few questions, but, you know, there's patient confidentiality. But she's going to talk about the whole system and a plan for tomorrow. What is the correct way for a, you know, trust of wills? And, you know, and I told her, I'm not sure if there is a correct way for any of it because it's so corrupt. And she understands all this. So she's going to be coming on our radio show next week. And I'm thinking that we are also going to be doing some road shows with her as well. She's decided to come aboard with us. So that's really good news.
If I ever get any time off, I'll do some road shows for you because I really believe that God has put us all together as warriors to try to defend and protect our elders. You were lucky you got your mom. I don't know what's going to happen. Only God knows. I have done everything possible to try to convey to the courts my mother was not ever in her right mind. Why courts do not want to see this, or the courts or the attorneys involved, they just want to avoid the real issues of why are you there in the first place, beats me, and then they accuse you for taking money. No, I don't think so.
Right.
No. An attorney told me my mother and I had a bank account. It was my dad set it up. It was my father or my mom or me with needs to rise of survivorship. The attorney that I got the first time said, if the money is in your both of your names, move it, not take it, and I never took it, to protect it. I left $2,000, okay? During incapacitation, that court-appointed attorney was okay with my niece and nephew taking my mother to the bank and remove that money and put it in their names, okay? Money that was under my own name or my mother's name. I left it. I knew they were going to do that. But I'm still the bad guy, according to them, the judge said. You never, the daughter never did anything wrong. She protected the money. And if she wanted to take the money, she could have because it was in her name too. I said, no, Your Honor, the money is for my mother. It was to protect it. And I even, when I moved it, I even volunteered to freeze it, okay? But their whole issue is that I took the money. And that court-appointed attorney made a big issue on that. Why? So she can write it, the power of attorney during incapacitation, so she can steal money, okay? So she can add more fees. And when you're incapacitated, if you're too incapacitated to take care of your property, then you're capacitated to make other decisions. Come on, make up your mind. That doesn't seem right. That's the fraud. It's fraudulent. And this is
right.
What's going on with my case. It went with your case and everybody else's case.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I know. We had issues with that too, you know, that there's so much fraud. I mean, my case alone is unreal with my family. And, you know, when you have family members and that's what a big issue is that you could either go through a divorce. Say you're going through a divorce and your husband takes you into court. Well, the court automatically finds out what assets you have. So they'll say, oh, we're going to keep this family here for the next 3 years because they've got $4 million between them. So therefore, they figure out anything and everything they can use to keep that case going. You end up hiring your own attorney. You end up hiring your own attorneys. You end up hiring attorneys. When the whole thing, they think they're going to go to court and get what they want from those judges and those attorneys.
Something that looks like justice.
Well, exactly.
You know, people expect justice from our justice system. And this is an error that is common among people, that they think the justice system is just ICE when it's just us.
Yes, that is so right. It's about them.
Yeah, it is. It's a system that's rigged in a way that the inside group, the inside clan, the attorneys, the judges, can have an advantage that they can use in a way that is unethical to embezzle your money. And the reason we call it embezzlement is because it's unethical when you do it. That's embezzlement. When you take money in an unethical way, when you hide what you're doing, when you lie about it, when you pretend that there's some legitimate reason for what you're doing, when in fact there's not. The legitimate reason is that you want it and you have the power to take it. That's not legitimate. That isn't just. It isn't right. And it's unethical. And the fact that these people are in these courtrooms, they 90% of the time, it's not something that they chose. I mean, well, maybe not 90% of the time. Part of the time, I guess it is something that they chose. They didn't like the way things were going in their family, so they said, well, I'll straighten this up. I'll take them to court because court is a place where I can find justice. And in doing that, they oftentimes make a very bad mistake because it doesn't matter too much to the judge or to the attorneys who brings the case in. It doesn't matter too much. Now, you might get a nice reward for bringing a juicy case with a lot of money. If you're the one that brings it in, well, they might reward you for that. Certainly, if you're an attorney, they will. I know that in Lulu's case, when the attorney that brought the whole case to the court and filed against the trust on behalf of Marion, who owned the trust in the first place, she's filing a lawsuit against herself under the guidance of this attorney. And
she was suing her own trust,
right.
My mother.
She didn't know what she was doing.
She was having dementia issues,
It was not her doing it. It was your brother who was using your mother, telling her, here, Mom, sign this. Here, Mom, do this. Here, Mom, say this.
Familiar.
Yeah, you know what? The thing is that our elderly people and children, too, they're so fragile. I mean, they don't know what they're doing.
This is true. This is true. And they love someone who is incapacitated in some way, whether it's by their youth, by their age,
mm-hmm.
by their infirmity, by whatever it is. They love that because that makes them weak enough to you can tromp all over them and steal everything from them. They love that. But I want to make the point that basically when we're in court, us average Americans, us ordinary people, we're handicapped too. We're at a disadvantage because everyone in that court that's an attorney or a judge, well, they're familiar with that environment. They're familiar with the law. They generally know each other and know what to expect from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we are operating at a disadvantage. Now, the way that the court says that we're going to correct this disadvantage is for us to find an advocate, that is, hire an attorney, who will go to court for us on our behalf and fight for us. The problem is...
But they fight for themselves. They prolong it.
The real battle is not to fight for us. It's to fight for whatever the biggest slice of the pie they can get from whoever controls the money. So they're not fighting for you. If you hire an attorney, you take it into court. They're generally... It's very rare to see an attorney that will effectively present your case in a way that stops the court action, ends it all, and brings about justice. And it's partly because they operate that way in a corrupt courtroom mm-hmm. where the judge is not going to allow it. And it's partly because they realize that once you're in that courtroom, once the court has someone or some resource that has been taken into court possession, into court control, once the trust, that is, the family trust is no longer owned by the family. It's controlled and basically owned by a court administrator, a court conservator, a court-appointed person. Then that individual that's going to court on your behalf knows that the person that's going to pay them, if you don't like what happens, is that court administrator. Well, they may be good friends. They may know that person, or they may know the reputation of that person, and they may know their best bet is to just run up a big legal bill and for you to fire them, and then they just submit the bill to the court, which will be paid by the administrator.
Right, and they sometimes give you a big bill, $300,000, $400,000, and then you have to come up and you have to pay for that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, and everybody tells me, should I get an attorney, and I always, you know,
you
I look at them and I say, well, how much money do you have to pay for these attorneys? Because they're going to hit you up really hard.
Right. And honestly, if you find a court that actually functions in a way that an attorney is going to be some use to you, that'd be good. We'd like to know about that.
Good luck.
That's why
I have come to the conclusion that my mother is in a really bad trap. And no matter what I do and try to save her, she's in a trap with wolves. And those wolves, they're in cahoots. So only God can take her out of there.
Right.
Because you just described it exactly how it happened. Put it into perspective.
Marcia, this goes on. The cahoots goes on almost every single case we have heard, and I've read, and I've been going through documents. I've been going through paperwork, and everything points the same direction. It's how these attorneys can profit from our families. Now, I did read today, and it's up on our Facebook page, Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards, Face Us, is up on Facebook. And there was a Las Vegas lawyer who pleads guilty to stealing millions from clients. Okay, his name was, it was a longtime estate attorney, Robert Graham, admitted in district court Thursday to stealing more than $16 million from clients. Whom relied financially on trust funds he oversaw. You know, he was a custody at the Clark County Detention Center on a $5 million bail. He pleaded guilty before District Judge Carrie Early to two felony counts of theft and three counts of exploitation of an elder vulnerable person. He faces a prison term of 16 to 40 years, and his sentence
good.
Is January 11th.
I hope he burns there. Anybody that'll do that to a mentally incapacitated person and take advantage and isolate them deserves that and steal from
exactly.
them.
Right, and the thefts, which range from as little as $20 to more than $1 million, occurred in 64 estate cases, 21 trust funds, 10 guardianship cases, and 4 special needs trusts, the papers show in court. I mean, come on, that's 21 trust funds, and then he's stealing from special needs people. That guy, I hope he burns in hell. I am
he's not alone.
You know,
he's got a lot of company. This is just one that got caught.
Right.
You know, I don't know how, and that's what I'd like to know is what was the lead up to putting this guy into a position where he got caught. I mean, this is what we're, we are making a dedicated effort to bring these criminals to justice, and they may wear titles and robes. But they are nonetheless criminals. It is not, you know, we're not asking for anything that strange. We're saying let criminals pay for their crimes. Let people who steal, lie, cheat, pay for the crimes and the damage that they do. And that's actually a very reasonable thing to ask for. But we're asking it of a system that is so badly broken that it serve justice. Because it's too much involved in serving just us, and that's if you find yourself in one of these courts, they are basically by their actions saying to us, we are far too interested in ourselves and our own benefit and how we can exploit the situation to enrich ourselves. We're far too interested in that to pay any attention to whether or not justice is served. Justice is a very, very, very distant second or third or fifth, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be on the page for a lot of these courts.
Right.
They just don't even pay any attention to whether anything is just
right.
or right or fair or not.
Just,
you know,
just to name a few cases that we have going on who we're very familiar with, and I talk a lot to Marty Oakley, and she has the TS Radio show. She's another Blog Talk radio host who is magnificent at what she does. And she talks about there's another lady that has not seen her mother since January 2016. It's Mary Bush and Genevieve's Nightmare. And it says that Mary Bush continues to fight to free her mother, Genevieve Bush, from the ravages of the fraudulent guardianship. Her mother was sentenced in 2011. Chester County, Pennsylvania, orphans. Court continues to extract Genevieve's wealth to feed court-appointed profiteers and disregarding multiple petitions filed by Mary for her mother's health, her care needs not being met. In January 2016, after Mary got her mother out of the nursing facility, she had broken bones and untreated heart problems. The nursing home and for-profit guardian immediately retaliated by calling Mary a trespasser. Mary, who lives about 15 minutes from the locked facility where her mother is, has not seen her mother since January 2016.
Horrible.
Since discovered, reported to Chester County Adult Protective Services that her mother, again, has not seen her cardiologist for a year and a half. After filing another petition to the court to see her mother, to her doctor, the court issued an order stating, I will not micromanage guardianship services of Pennsylvania care decisions absent compelling reasons. The court also ordered that Mary, who is her mother's legal health care agent, is to cease and desist scheduling appointments for her mother. To even see her mother. I mean, these are our parents. I mean, it just makes me angry. And this is just one of the several cases we've been following. And we've been hoping to God that you will be able to see your mother. I'm hoping to God that Mary will be able to see her mother, and I'm thankful we got to.
So. Well,
let's just not keep going on in our society.
No, it can't. And, you know, I was talking to Elaine from Nazca, and she went through something horrible, too. And we all need to stick together, even to help the next person, because this is where the blessing comes in. I'm putting, ever since I've been met you guys and I've been on the show, at least I'm able to, I have people that resonate with what went on because you guys can understand because you went through it. People that don't want to understand, the attorneys that don't want to understand, those are the people to watch out for because they don't want with this for the ward.
No,
our
no,
mother.
No. And the truth is, I don't really think that there's that many attorneys that don't understand about these problems. I think that this is the dirty laundry of the legal profession. And I think most of the attorneys, the vast majority, are very aware that our courts are not places of justice and that it's a rigged game. I think that that's something that, you know, something they're, it's their dirty little secret. It's their dirty laundry. It's the thing they don't want to show. And so when you bring it to their attention, they may act like, oh, really? Gosh, I had no idea. And I think some of them don't have any idea. But I don't think it's that many. I think a great many do know what it's about. And I think a great many are kind of like the Baptists that are in the liquor store and won't speak to each other because none of them will acknowledge that the other one is there because they don't want that one to acknowledge that they're there. So because they're Baptists and they don't drink liquor, you know, I think it's kind of like that.
That's
these
a
people
good
know wrong. They know that they're involved in something
right.
That's dirty, but they pretend like they don't know anything about that when you bring it to their attention because they're profiting from it and they don't want any more attention to it. So they'll just poo-poo and say, oh, no, no. Oh, that's just an isolated case here and there. And they know they're lying. They know that's not true in many cases.
Well, they put you like my ex-attorney, I said, you put me through a maze. You've put me through a roller coaster, and I feel like you've even pushed me in a washing machine, you know, because this is what they do. They're so good at that. They go around in a maze because they prolong it. They look for conflict. They look for that. That's what they look for. And then they bill. Oh, and I haven't gotten paid. Why didn't you submit the bill? Oh, because she was waiting for the kill. Uh-huh.
Right.
Till the end. Well, I fired her. That woman should not be practicing law. When you see a client being abused and you turn your face to it, they shouldn't be practicing law. That's abusive.
Right. Of course it's abusive. You know, that's why, we have to take a lot of organizations, and what we have to do is work in with our organizations, and then we all have to work together. We have to coordinate our efforts. Like, I know with the probate cases going on, we have a pretty big gang of people now. I mean, we have a lot of advocates that are really together. I know many of the groups, they all talk to us. You know, we all talk to many people. And we have to form one big group and go after these people. You know, you got Rick Black, who has been an amazing advocate, you know, that has been helping a lot of these families, you know. And, you know, it needs to go further than that. It needs to go further than that. We have to band together. We have to work together. In fact, tomorrow morning I'm actually going to go up to court up in Boulder County for a friend of ours that has her mother that was killed out here, and she's from Arizona. So we're going to go up and we're going to go do some court watching. You know, so that's one way that you can participate, and it's very – because the judges do not like a whole bunch of people sitting in their courtrooms and listening and you're writing down information, and then the other sides look at you like, what are they doing here? Are they spying on us? What? But
well,
it's,
you know,
effective.
It's
effective.
It can sometimes put a judge on his best behavior.
Right.
And I suppose that it can sometimes put a court on notice that people are paying attention. And one of the things that doctors don't like is when you turn on the lights. And if these people are up to no good, they're no better than cockroaches. They're dirty, rotten scoundrels. And the fact that they are up to no good is something that they'd rather not advertise. They'd rather not everyone know.
Right.
That's why they issue gag orders on people
right.
who are in their courtroom, so they can't talk
mm-hmm.
about it. That's why contempt of court charges
right.
on people
mm-hmm.
who tell the truth about what's going on.
Right.
Because they're trying to
yeah.
hide. They're trying to hide
mm-hmm.
their crimes. So when you act as a court watcher, you go into a court, it makes it a little bit hard for these criminals to function in their normal
yeah.
way.
I like
because,
watching them.
Because, the,
yeah.
you know, if mm-hmm. one there, except the people that are under the court's thumb, in other words, you've got the plaintiffs and the people making pleadings and you've got attorneys. Well, all the attorneys realize that that's their court. They're there playing the game. And all the people that are not
mm-hmm.
attorneys don't really know how to play the game. They don't really know the scam.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really know how to put it all together.
Right.
And that's they're not attorneys. So when you are in a court, as I said, you are disadvantaged
mm-hmm.
by your lack of knowledge and understanding and awareness of how the whole thing works and what the moves are. And, you know, it's like trying to play chess when you don't know how to move your pieces yet.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And that is the advantage that they use, which makes all of us sort of in the same boat as a person who really
mm-hmm.
doesn't have capacity because they can't defend themselves. Well, most of us really don't have a good ability to defend ourselves either in that environment.
No.
I don't know the rules of how that game is played.
Right.
You know, we know it's some kind
it's
of a game.
It's a game.
Right. Anyway, we are doing a show tonight on the different kinds of court corruption, and it's just not in probate, family, or divorce. It is state agencies. It's all kinds of courtrooms that
oh,
are
it's
combined.
Criminal too,
it's criminal. It's appellate court. It's a whole bunch of courtrooms. So we're going to try to at least once a month do a roundtable discussion where we can have people come in and tell their stories. And we want to start doing a network where families can come together, you know, and they can and I can, you know, let them know that there's other people that are involved. We're taking calls here in a minute. But the phone number, if you want to call in, is 1-845-241-9962. Press 1. We will get you in to talk to us here at the studio. And it's 1-845-241-9962. Press 1, and we'll see that your hand is raised. We do have a caller. It's a 480 number where you're on the air.
We're bringing you in right now.
You're bringing
Hello.
You in right now.
480, you're
yep.
on the air.
Hi, Lulu and Robin. It's Linda, and I am very blessed and thank you for you being court watchers for me tomorrow because
we were just talking about, oh, my gosh, I was just thinking about this is one way that we can go and help, you know, our fellow people that are having issues in these courtrooms.
Well, this one, I think they kind of gave us a big gift on a silver platter. I think you finally got the paperwork I sent you, but I've also had a conversation back and forth today with the Boulder County DA. He and I are getting on a little friendly one-on-one email basis, but this really needs to go out around the network because the my brother's counsel petitioned against me asking for a continuance on this hearing tomorrow for the primary reason that all of my witnesses are disaster victims in Florida. I can't reach any of them. And I requested that. I had all the declarations from the governor of Florida and the county of Collier County, Southwest Florida. They were in the direct path of Hurricane Irma. There is no water, potable water. The lines are still down. There's no electricity. And when I did speak to the geriatric care manager, she was with elderly residents in a Category 4 building. This was Saturday, trying to help them. Now, I don't know if any of you saw the news this morning, but there were 6 elderly residents in a nursing home on the East Coast that died. Because
right,
of
right.
the lack of heat of air conditioning.
Yeah.
And I am freaking appalled because the judge in Boulder County denied my request and ignored the fact that my witnesses are in that disaster zone, said I should have been better prepared. She didn't even know that the hurricane hit them on Sunday. She said it was Saturday. They have given us a gift on a silver platter because they have demonstrated to me they have no freaking compassion for people. We can carry that message. I have already started it, and I have let the DA up there, Stan Garnett, know, he knows that I am not happy on this, that this is a demonstration of the way they are treating people. And so I've had to jump through hoops today to try to prepare for this. I will have no witnesses from Florida to back up my mother's condition down there and the fact that my brother manipulated her, used undue influence to force her to change documents. I am digging up paperwork. I will have to challenge them on hearsay. I am blessed that you guys will at least be there. I will be there telephonically if they're approving my petition, which, by the way, they insist that out-of-state people in their court system have to send it. We're not allowed to email it, which is prejudicial and it's costly.
Right.
Today, at least, they said they would take it. But I will also let you know that I have had success today with media.
Media.
Okay, we are committed with one of the Fox stations here in Phoenix for a major feature in November sweeps, but I have gotten through to producers now at some the national shows in D.C. and New York. So we are working on it, and I will be sending you out some paperwork so that you can send it on to your networks, Lulu, around the state country, simple one-pager, so I can gather the stats I need and the examples. But trying to make this negative morning turn into a positive.
I know.
That's what you got to do, and that drives them crazy.
Yes. The other thing I want to do is thank Joe Rubicek from Broward County, Florida, who talked a few weeks ago. He emphasized focus on the person crime, focus on the medical, focus on the taking advantage of the person because of the physical or mental deficits. And in working with Dr. Bennett Blum, the geriatric forensic psychiatrist out of Tucson, he shared with me, bless his heart, for no cost. And I think it's because I told him my attorney in Colorado last year, we did not decide to use him in court. And I told him, I said, I think she made a huge mistake. That's part of why I lost the court case. I think that's why he was so kind. He shared with me some guidelines on how to put a case together between the psychiatric side of undue influence manipulation and the law enforcement. So I will be pulling mine together, and I will put it in a synopsis for you. I can't pass on exactly what he gave me because it's copyrighted, but I can pull the concept.
Because
it's exactly what's been done to my mother, undue influence because of mental incapacity.
Well, I will hurry and get you this information, but between Joe Rubicek in Florida and then what I got from Dr. Blum, that is what I have been doing. That's how I am preparing for tomorrow, and I am going to hammer home the medical deficit. She had hearing loss. She was legally blind. She had cognitive deficits as of early of 2009, and I am going to hammer that home. Did you know that? Did you know that?
Hello? Good. We're working on it. The only way we're going to do it is a lot of angry families that are sick and tired of what's going on in our nation. You know,
they are.
I can't express it enough how we have to get groups together, families together, and keep working this. I'm actually working on, you know, you have to have forensic people to help you.
Yes.
And that's one thing I have learned, and I'm actually working with a lady out here with a forensic expert that I've got some cases I'm working on right now. I can't say too much right now, but I'm working on it in between the radio shows and going to be a court watcher and squeezing all this in there to help what we can around, because the courts are so corrupt.
They are corrupt. They are definitely corrupt. My other piece of good news is I did get a return phone call today from the Capitol. I was able to speak to two of our legislators' chief of staff from Arizona, but I've got a whole list I'm going through. From the House of Representatives, because we have to get the bill co-sponsored to work with Rick Black's Senate Bill 178, which got passed. So I will also be focused on simple ways for you, Lulu, to get it out to the network on just how they can help with the local reps, and then we'll get that moving.
I have quite a few representatives out here that I am working with now too.
Good.
That there's a representative, Kim Ranson, who said she's going to take on, I think it's one of the guardianship bills that we tried to pass 2 years ago. Actually, she's going to be taking that bill up again, so we're going to be trying to pass that one in again. And I know
good.
If I go and talk to her, and there's like four of the representatives that I know of that will help us do something, because they all heard about me, about our group. You know, we've been in front of legislation at least 20 times with all of our stories. So I know that we can get some help here in Colorado with legislation.
Good. And
yeah, we have to get a whole, I've got to write that down on my to-do list, you know.
Well, we're getting this together, and the one thing, Rick Black just wants us to follow the same pattern, so we'll be keeping it consistent, working together. He's the lead on the legislative, so he set the pattern. We just have to get it out to the right people, and we need to absolutely get the advocates around the country. I've got some ideas coming up for simple things on certain days that we can get some larger cooperation, such as a Veterans Day tying in the veterans side of it and some of the other special events. So my ideas are in my head, but I got to deal with tomorrow first.
Right.
So thank you again.
You're going to be great. It's going to come out to your room because you – they cannot avoid, they can't push away the medical side. That is the main big issue. It's the medical.
Absolutely.
The reason why they do not want to face the fact that there's medical disabilities, then the case would be over and they can't drain the guardianship money anymore.
Correct.
You see? So the
Correct.
Minute that you face that, they're going to have to, by law, they have to face it. That's why every email, and when I went last one to court, this judge seems to be much nicer than the first judge. This one is respectful and kind. He seemed kind. I'm not a judge. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what legalities he needs to go by, but I did say if it wouldn't be for the court allowing my mother to make her decisions, we would have not been there because she's not mentally incapacitated. She's not, she's not capable. And they all raised their eyebrows. Mentally, she can't do it, so why put her through it? I just want to be able to see her. I don't want her money. They've taken her money, our money, because things were in my name. They depleted all that.
You're in Florida, or where are you?
I live in Hialeah now, but I'm up the street from Hollywood, where this happened with the
nursing homes.
And actually, my pro bono attorney works for NBC News. He did part of that set on NBC News. But this Broward judge that I had agreed to move the case because I would stand up to him. I told him, I said, I came to protect my mother, not to have her destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I came to protect her property, which you sold. I came to protect her medically, which hasn't been addressed. And I said, I feel like I'm living in a communist country, in a dictatorship.
Yep.
Guess what he did? He moved the case. He washed his hands off after he approved the sale of the property and after he approved a durable power of attorney during incapacitation.
Mm.
That's the Broward judge. Now it's in a Glades County court in Moorhaven. And that judge seemed nicer. But still, my mother's not there. So why put her through that?
Right.
You know, it's
sad
because she's not capable. And that's my biggest thing is, why are courts not wanting to see this? If they don't want to see it, then they're part of the corruption then. If they don't want to face the fact that they're not mentally there and they want to continue to put the victim through it, that's what I'm saying. I am in the middle of wolves that I'm never going to win because they don't want me to win. They don't want my
mother
to win. You're
in Broward. Wait a minute. Is your mom in Broward County?
We were. She lived in Broward County. She had a beautiful apartment on the ocean, all paid for. That judge approved the sale of the property, and there's a will.
So where is she living now? What county?
She's living in Hendry County.
Is that north or west?
Central Florida. She's near Collier County.
Collier County, which is where my mom was. Okay.
Yeah.
So she's in Henry. What's the town?
La Belle.
La Belle?
Yeah.
Okay.
La Belle, Florida. But all of that is corruption over there.
Yes.
Corruption everywhere. Although I do got to say, I like this last judge. I think he's going to make some decisions, whether I'm there or not, because I think he gets it. He sees that my mother's been doing, things have been done to my mom that are not fair to my mom, and he called it. So.
Do you document everything?
Everything.
Okay,
for years.
Good.
I have been battling this since 2011. And, you know, they want me to give up, and I'm not going to give up.
Good for you.
The isolators, because they're only the guardians, limited guardians of the property and the health care.
We're justice warriors.
You know, the last lawyer, I let her go. She wasn't giving me any of the court filings.
I agree with you on the attorneys. I really have gotten to the point where I just don't trust them.
You're going to do better yourself. You're going to do better by yourself because you are presenting facts, and you come across, you really care for your mom, and you're done with the bullshit. I am.
I think we're all done with the bullshit.
It's got to go. You know, if it smells funny, if it smells stinky, it is fishy. Yeah, and you're done with the fish. You're going to do it.
Oh, I am so done with it, and I will be,
You're going to be so good. I can feel it. I know you are.
Well, the more we're filled with facts, F-A-C-T-S, facts and information, that is about elder care, about geriatric care, about cognitive decline, things like that, isolation and whatnot, they don't have it. And that is where I have found I can trip up now some of the attorneys when they try to challenge because they don't bother to learn.
No, they don't want to because you're talking fast in the reality and they're taking advantage of a mentally incapacitated person. They're taking advantage of a vulnerable person.
Exactly.
No one loves, like my mother, when I last saw her, I said, Mom, do you love me? She said, of course I love you. What person would not love their daughter? I love my daughter. I love you more than anybody else. But a few minutes later, she forgot that she said that, because that's what happens. They're taking advantage of the
They are taking advantage, and they got my mother prepped to say that I was a big pain in the neck in the courtroom.
That's what they do.
We'll probably hear it again tomorrow, because I just got a paperwork on what they're going to use, and I just laugh at it because I go, oh, yeah. But that was a phrase she used when she was kidding. She'd laugh and come and give me a hug. But my brother knows which phrases that he can get her to say.
Right.
Yeah, my
and it's just like, if you don't know your family member, it can be used, if you don't know the person, like that was a court-appointed attorney for my mother, and it's like, how long have you known my mother? You really don't know my mother. You're seeing a puppet.
Well, because, you know, you know what they do? This is a sick tactic that they use.
Oh, I know.
Very sick. You know what I've been doing? I've been posting pictures for many years. I got a letter from the isolator. That's slandering. That is slandering. And that behavior is inappropriate. Oh, I said to myself, it must be really be pissing her off. Or, she might not be liking that. And I'm saying, this is the United States of America. She has no right to tell me I cannot post pictures of my mother. None whatsoever. So that tells me they're dictators and isolators. And you're going to go in there and you're going to be doing very good, because you're going to get them with the facts. And that's what they don't want to see, because medically, if your mother's not there, it's illegal for them to do that to your mother. They can't do that to your mother.
Well, they killed her. My brother killed her and the care centers, because she died of septicemia, MRSA, and Staph A. And they're hiding the medical records. So that's going to be another fight. They tell me I don't need them because I didn't have any care duties for her. Really? Really? Well, you sure don't know the history of the family. And my brother didn't know, and he didn't get the right care, and the right care wasn't given to her in the assisted living. How did she get the infection? It didn't just come all of a sudden. And the death certificate says, the doctor says, it came 2 weeks before she died. No. Why was she diagnosed 6 weeks before she died, when she went into the ER with septicemia, MRSA, and Staph A? And I've tracked it back to her dermatology surgery. She died in February. She went in the ER in January. She had dermatology surgery in September. And I kept hearing about wound care. It's working. It's not working. It's working. It's not working. There is big cover up there.
Right.
I didn't know that your mom was gone. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. She died on Valentine's Day. What an appropriate day.
I remember that day, too.
Yeah. So anyway, listen, everyone, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get off because I have to get prepped for tomorrow. Hugs to everybody. And
we'll be up there.
Yeah, we appreciate you, and we will see you tomorrow, and we appreciate your...
That's nice.
Yeah, we'll talk tomorrow. I think I've been sending you guys everything, so anyway, thank you.
Good.
And
okay.
I'm so sorry, I forget your name, Miss Florida.
Marcy,
yes. That's right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm sending my hugs and kisses to you, and you have electricity and water? Are you okay?
Yes. We were so lucky. I only didn't have it for 2 hours.
Oh, you were lucky. Okay.
Yeah, and where I live, it's very safe. I moved from Sunny Isles. It was a lockdown there. So I'm so glad that I was already in my new home. But thank you.
All right. God bless. Talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's same. All these cases are the same. These people
use the same.
My God. That is terrible.
Yeah, it's the corruption in all the courts I work
I'm so worried about my mom, but the way they had her in court, I don't want my mother to be put through that anymore. You know, I really don't. I care for her too much.
Individuals to face these unjust that what we can do about it is something that is on
just
our minds
like
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're always thinking about it. We're always working towards trying to accomplish something that builds justice. And it's a gigantic problem. It's an amazing thing when you discover that we have a whole court system that is just rotten through and through, rotten through and through. There's a few strands of real just courtrooms where justice is really served, and God bless them. God bless them. I'm grateful for every single courtroom where justice is being served. You bet. I'm really grateful. But it's not being served in a great, great many, and so we're going like lambs to the slaughter. Like I said, they already have the advantage. They just use that advantage to rob people, and it is. It's like the slaughter. We don't have the legal knowledge and expertise to defend ourselves from the kind of assaults that are mounted by these court officials and these court conspirators. And there's not an effective defense that happens that we can muster without getting a legal education, without getting an education in how the courtroom works. And yes, there are places that you can find information that can help. It's basically, once you're in one of these courts, it's pretty much too late, because by that time they've already filed papers on you. They're already on you. They've already probably grabbed your property, because that's about the first thing that they like to do is get the property into the court.
That's what they do.
And
like
once they have the
property,
and if they get a person along with the property, then that's just ongoing cash flow. People are valuable. People have value to these court officials because they can lock them away and collect a check every month for that person, whether it's their own retirement, whether it's government-sponsored retirement, where they're taking their Medicaid, Medicare, taking whatever payments they can. They're exploiting individuals for profit that they gain control over and hold as hostages. You're dealing with a hostage situation when these individuals get your loved ones, and it's a hostage situation where they've already taken all the money and they have the hostage. And, you know, that you are at such a disadvantage. You know, if your family has a lot of its assets held in the name of the patriarch or the matriarch, in other words, your father or your mother has saved all their lives and scrimped and saved so they have something that they can then, you know, a basis on which they can help their children, grandchildren, family, loved ones. Then oftentimes in a family like that, I know in my family, all the boys were involved in building my father's business. And, of course, we believed that this was because in building my father's business, building our family's business, we're benefiting our family, which includes ourselves. And a lot of times you'll see situations where people are working in a family business there, and they'll put in years of work for very, very little pay, knowing that the real reason that they're doing so much work is that one day they're going to inherit that business, or the proceeds from that business one day will put them through college. You know, they're looking ahead and they're thinking ahead and they're doing the wisest thing. Now these court interlopers come in and they say, "Oh, here you are taking money from your parents."
Yeah.
I put in 27 years of hard work for whatever it is that I do get from my parents.
Well,
you know,
I put in all my high school years helping my mom and dad, that they didn't even speak English, building that store, okay? And then they tell me I stole money that was in our name and I protected it because an attorney told me to. And that was resolved. They're still trying to use that, the isolators. And the problem is because they wanted the money and they're upset it wasn't in their name.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's why. We hear so many stories. You know, that's it's nonstop repeat of the same stories we heard continually.
Insane.
So you know what? It's just some things that they're stealing from our families. They know it. We know it. But the system is so corrupt, they don't care. You know?
They give it to the most corrupted so they can, you know.
That's why, you know, we were talking earlier to Linda Arters, and she is absolutely right that we have to work all together. I mean, we've got separate groups, and one group can't do it. 100 groups can't do it. You have to have a village of groups, you know, to fight what we're fighting. And we've been very, you know, so I'm hoping that we can get some legislation passed federally through Rick Black. He'll keep us on touch with that. And then we usually filter it out through our radio show among all the listeners so
and
they know what's going on our websites, of course.
Can I ask you a question? The Bill 178, what is exactly the bill? Do we know that?
I don't know exactly the bill, but Rick Black and AAAPG is involved with it, and they are so educated on what they are doing. I want to get a copy of the bill.
Yeah, why don't we do a show on that so we can be on top of it because it's going to affect everybody, right? It's a nationwide, the Bill 178?
I think it's going to be a bill that is going to be a federal bill. They're not going into the states and doing it state by state. It's going to be a federal bill. It has to do with guardianships and probate court. But I think I'll leave Rick a message to see if we can find out more about that bill.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd like to read it.
I think that would be good. Yeah, I think what it is, if I heard something, I don't know if it's right or not, but whoever goes to guardianship needs to present the will.
Uh-huh.
And in my case, there's the will before she got incapacitated. In the isolator's case, I believe that they might have had her signed a new will. I don't know why I'm thinking that. And if they did, that's not going to be good because she was already incapacitated. So let's see what happens. I think that's what the new bill is, because when I told that last attorney, she started getting nervous, and I'm thinking maybe she knew something that I didn't know and that she was working in cahoots with them. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So, you know what, I'm personally sending Rick Black a message right now to see if we can get the Bill 178, because I have legislators here in town, I mean, that we've been working with. Like I say, we got one that's a Representative Kim Ranson, who is going to be helping us get another bill passed with guardianships. I'm pretty sure
We actually have a good 5 or 6 legislators.
We have a lot of them.
That are open to us, have heard our concerns, and would like to run bills that will help. So we do have... we have that. Now, to see a bill that is actually good for the people get passed is something of a miracle that we haven't been privileged to see much, because there's too much old boy network between the judiciary and the Senate and the House. The legislators look on the judiciary like that's their brother, that's their sister, that's their sweet, tender loved one that they have to protect and look after. And so if attorneys come in and judges come in and start talking about how they don't like a bill, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what their reasons are much, it doesn't matter what their arguments are much, because if they don't like it, then the legislators tend to go, oh, well, okay, then screw it. We're not going to have that. We're not going to do that bill.
I think Marcy dropped off on our phone here.
It looks like it.
She'll come back on.
And so, what you wind up with is a legislature that always votes with the judiciary, and when the legislature always votes with the judiciary, then obviously you're not able to change laws in a way that's meaningful, because the judiciary, of course, is the problem. You have whoever is ethical in the judiciary not stepping up and being in charge. You have those that are unethical in the judiciary being protected by a further layer of unethical standards that are applied when you appeal a judge. So you have this whole system that works in a way that is destructive to the common weal and the common good. And these attorneys benefit from it and profit from it, and the judges close one eye, close both eyes, keep both eyes open, and choose to lie. You know, they're in the loop on the dark money that's flowing somewhere,
right?
Because they've got to be. That's the only thing that makes sense when you've got somebody that's doing things that are crimes. These judges are doing crimes. And they're breaking the law, but they figure they can get away with it because there's no one that will prosecute them. And I saw this for myself. I had a situation where there was an attorney that had done some unethical things and deserved to be prosecuted. And and when I went to attorneys, this attorney eventually got himself promoted to the place where he was a judge, a superior court judge, and he got elected judge. And once he was a judge, then I had been trying to hold him responsible all along. But once he got to that point, then the attorneys mm-hmm. that I was working with said, look, this guy's a superior court judge. I can't go up against him. If you think I'm going to go up against my lifelong friend who is a superior court judge, you're crazy. That's what my attorney said to me. And so I knew at that moment that from that moment forward, there was going to be no justice in that situation, that I was done. My goose was cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been able to see justice. I have notified the Justice Department when they asked for people who felt that they'd been cheated in courts. And I sent them a letter, and I let them know the details of the case. And they can certainly look it up and find that everything I said was true. But what came of it? Nothing at all.
Well, it's like all the other thousands of cases that we hear every day.
Right.
I mean, every now and then, you know, every now and then you'll get people will send in, their paperwork to the Department of Justice, and they'll get back a reply once in a while. But then they just brush it under the rug and saying, thank you for contacting us. We get a lot of information, and this is, you're just one of them, you know.
Yeah.
We get a lot of those responses all the time from different family members.
Yeah.
Have told us that they've all been to the, like this show. We're talking about what can we do, you know, to get recognition for what is going on with all our terrible courtrooms. I'm not sure of the answer to that,
but
we've got to keep working on it.
We, the people, have to hold our public officials responsible. We can't just let them do what they want. We can't have representatives that are voting in laws that are against the people. We can't have judges that are using their authority against the people. What we are building and what we have, in as much as it has been built, is a fascist totalitarian rulership system, because these people do not answer to anybody. They have unlimited power within the scope of their courtrooms. They misuse and abuse people. They misuse the law and abuse people through that misuse. And it is And it amounts to court embezzlement under a system that has promoted unethical standards that allows it all to go on. And unless we, the people, decide, hey, we don't want unethical standards in our courtrooms. We don't want legal court embezzlement. We don't want people that are empowered to steal in our courtrooms. Until we, the people, decide that that matters enough to us, that we intend to stand up, and we do stand up, speak out, let our voices be heard, band together, and take actions that are dramatic enough and big enough till they make the news, till we build a movement, till people understand that these courts are corrupt, because the people that haven't been in them don't know. They still think we have a justice system. They believe the myth of America, the liberty and justice for all myth that we're all raised on in this country, which is nothing but just pablum for babies. It's nonsense. It's hookum. It's not true. It's kabuki theater. It's a pretense. All they want to do is pretend that there's justice enough so that they can go on robbing people and stealing and lying and cheating and get away with it. They intend for the system to work for them, and it does, and they don't intend to let anyone interfere with or stop that. So so here we are in a system that is not working, and in a society that is permitting it, just because most people aren't up to speed on what's going on. And they don't understand that the judges are corrupt and that the courtrooms are corrupt. And, it's hard to let them know. The media is as much help as they can be, but then you've got the attorneys that are overseeing what stories get told on television. You know, when you have a big television station, a big network television station, that they're going to have a legal department, and that legal department is going to say, no, 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 don't run that story. It's about judges. We don't want judges up our ass because, excuse my language, but we don't want judges coming after us because that's, we'll wind up in a lawsuit and it'll cost us a lot.
Right.
And so we can't run these stories.
Well, that's how they get away with doing what they're doing, because everybody seems to be scared of these people, you know, but there has been out in Vegas, there was a Darcy Spears out there that did the whole thing on those attorneys. So there is room for media. I mean, have to find the right person.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right. There is room for media. It takes a certain media outlet that, for whatever reason, is or can be courageous enough to tell the stories. It takes investigators that are willing to step up and do the necessary investigations, and we can do a lot of that. We can look up the property records at the courthouse, look up the property records at the county courthouse, and determine what are the mortgages that have been held and are paid off by judges, judges' families. And when we begin to look at that, well, then we can do
That was also mentioned on MSNBC. Remember, we were listening to it that one day, and they were talking about some of these judges were getting away by putting things through their mortgages.
Right.
Remember, we were going to go
and
back and check that out.
This is what Janet Fallon did that allowed her to be able to walk into a court and say a few words to a judge, and that judge recused himself that day. And this is what can happen if we have the power and the ability that comes through becoming well-informed about that person. And you do your research, and you can find out a great deal. There's a lot of public records that are accessible to us. And once we understand who we're dealing with, then that they are dirty. In other words, if you see that a judge is making $160,000 a year and he paid off $375,000 worth of mortgages in the last year, then you know he's got money coming from somewhere that's not showing on his tax return. That's not visible to it's not visible. It's invisible money.
Right.
And we know, because we're being robbed and we're getting the paperwork from the courts in our cases, we know that oftentimes there is money that just goes missing.
Right.
You know, we saw that there was a property that sold in one case that was $60,000, and it sold the same day as the property next to it for, I don't remember how much the property next to it sold for, but the administrator that was doing the sale and that was the administrator of the trust on behalf of the family, according to the court, that administrator didn't record that $60,000, did not record that it was that it came into that trust, even though we know that that property was owned by that trust and was sold. That 60 grand just vanished mysteriously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, it didn't just vanish mysteriously. She still got that 60 grand, but it didn't go where it was supposed to in the paper. And it didn't go where it was supposed to in the court, and it didn't go where it was supposed to in the property records.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't go where it was supposed. It did go where it was supposed to in the property records, but it didn't go where it was supposed to in the court, because when she gave the accounting for that trust to that judge, that 60 grand was gone. There was nothing there. It was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 60 grand from one case that one administrator got out of one family. If that administrator had 120 families and did that to all of them, that adds up to a whole lot of money.
Right.
And if that judge wants him a new car for making that possible for that administrator to do, well, I bet that that administrator could find it in her heart to figure out a way to get that to him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's all kinds of dealings that, you know, a lot of people are investigating, and I'm glad that a lot of the people are opening their eyes, you know, because we have to bring awareness, we have to bring attention to all the criminal activity, not just in our probate courts, but family courts. I mean, you name it, we've got so many courts that are having issues now that is a worldwide epidemic. I mean, I don't think
it
could stop here in the United States.
No. Fascism is a worldwide epidemic.
Right.
And it manifests through our court system, it manifests through our police, killing people and facing no consequences. It manifests through our deaf legislature when we appeal to them to make changes that will help. And you know, it's we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. We're supposed to be a democratic system, but we've got foreign governments influencing the political process in our country, and they just get away with it. They actually were able to influence the politics in this country to the degree that they got what they wanted. Now, was that because they did that? Probably. Can that be said conclusively? Probably not.
Right.
But
I got the S-Bill 178 right here. Rick Black just forwarded it over to us. So if anybody's interested in knowing what it says, give us an email at luann@info@faceus.org or Luann, what is my email?
info@faceus.org.
Luann@faceus.org. Or you can talk to us, you know, on Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards on FaceUs on Facebook. You can look at our website. But we are having a little bit of technical issues. Some people have been trying to get into the show and they can't. Marcy has left the show. She can't get back on, so we are having some kind of an issue going on. So I think what we're going to do is we are going to end this with the inside scoop from Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards. You're listening to Faces with Robin and Lulu. We will be back next week. Our guest next week will be an attorney. She is a probate attorney from Colorado here, and she's going to be talking to us about a plan for tomorrow and the correct way you should do a trust and a will. That's if you go into a court and you do have, you know, not unscrupulous attorneys or judges or any of that. These plans would work out. But she also understands that it is a very corrupt system out there, and she's also trying to warn other family members what is going on. Also, she is one of our ethical attorneys that is going to be coming on next week, and we're really looking forward to that. Yeah, it's going to be really good.
And until next week, we hope you'll tune in then, but until next week, remember, justice requires transparency and accountability.
Right, and you never give up.
Never, never, never quit.
Our motto is you never, never give up. Never
quit. Giving up is not an option.
We're going to play a little segment from Danny Tate, who is also suffering from conservatorship. He gave us a little newsy little music to play at the beginning of our shows and at the end. So we're going to end it with, I hope that all the people in Florida, you know, the victims, you know, in, you know, that were in Key West and all the victims that are all over that are suffering this hard time out there, and also the Caribbean islands, you know, you have, you know, Cuba and all these different areas, the Bahamas, that were really hit hard by this hurricane. And, you know, we have a lot of people that have no power, and a lot of these people are elderly, a lot of these people are children, and it's just too hot out there. And
well,
we pray that they keep the people, there are a lot of volunteers on this. Our hearts will go out to the first responders and all the hard work and dedication they do, and to the governors and even the president for all getting involved out there. And we hope that there's continued success in rescuing any people that need to be that need to be found out there in Florida.
Well, I have a cousin in Florida, in one of the areas that was hit pretty hard.
Right.
That I guess still doesn't have power. I haven't heard from her.
Oh no.
So she's in our prayers.
She's in our prayers.
We love you.
Right.
We're thinking about you, Karen, and all of the other victims.
To our ward,
we're,
to all our victims.
Our hearts are with you, and we hope that the first responders and the emergency personnel are able to get to everyone, and that no more lives will be lost
right.
by the circumstances that are faced by these people.
So
God bless us, everyone.
Another segment, September 13th, 2017. We say goodnight to everybody and join us next week. Please, everybody, take care. Good night, everybody.
God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone.